Recording in progress.
Good morning, everyone. This is Wanda Stewart, and you're listening to the Rod and Roll Girls podcast. And we have a guest on this morning. Her name is Katie Lamb, and she's really an outdoor enthusiast. And Katie, good morning. Would you like to come on and introduce yourself, please?
Good morning, Wanda. Thanks for having me. My name is Katie Lamb, and I reside in Michigan. I enjoy hunting and fishing and pretty much anything in between. And I'm really pleased to be on here with you today to talk about some of my favorite hunting and fishing stories and getting more ladies involved in the outdoors.
Well, thank you so much. What we were going to talk about, we discussed this earlier. It's kind of like you're a very busy lady. I mean, you have a full-time job. Like you said earlier, you're an engineer. So how do you find time to do all these sports?
Well, it's kind of a take-it-as-you-come sort of thing. Any sort of opportunities that I come across, I do everything that I can to balance that with my job. Being an engineer, working all over the country, not only exposes me to different places with broader horizons and outlooks, but it also allows me to see the different cultures, meet different people. But over the course of the year, you know, there's pretty much a nonstop opportunity for some sort of hunting or fishing or outdoor activity, particularly up here in Michigan. It's been my experience that, you know, balancing my work life and my personal life is something that I think a lot of women can relate to. And I would love to talk about that a little bit more today.
Okay, well, I know as well how busy it is trying to get all these events organized. I have a very busy life as well, and I'd like to spend a lot more time, you know, fishing with family and not so much with the promotional stuff, but it's gotten pretty busy here lately. So how do you plan on balancing yours out?
Well, as it stands now, it almost depends on what time of year it is. In the engineering industry, there are slow seasons and busier seasons, and it's, you know, taking more of the opportunities during the slow seasons to take my vacation time, link up with other individuals, make plans, budget funds for certain trips and activities, as well as, you know, investing in gear. And so it's balancing knowing where I'm going to be when, and then working my hobbies and passions around that. And that being said, I mean, I don't sell any sort of outdoor products, and I'm not directly affiliated with any sort of companies. But this is purely a passion that has developed into almost a way of life for me. And I couldn't ask for a better combination.
And that sounds pretty exciting. So what are some of the other outdoor activities that you're looking forward to doing in the near future?
Well, I participate in quite a few different things, from freshwater fishing to saltwater fishing offshore. That includes both classic rod and reel, spinning reel activities. But in the last few years, I've really gotten into fly fishing and fly tying, as well as archery using a compound bow. And then I do a lot with hunting with bow and rifle for whitetail deer. I use a shotgun for waterfowl, small game, things like that. As well as, you know, just general scouting, hiking through the woods, looking for deer antler sheds or turkey tracks or what have you. It's really, you know, when I say it's a passion, it's almost something that drives the rest of my life. It drives my outlook. And gives me quite a bit of purpose.
Well, I know I host several trips here in Louisiana a year, and I have quite a diverse group of people that come down to fish with me. So how do you go about finding the women that you hunt and fish with? I mean, are you in a certain group?
So believe it or not, it wasn't until I got into waterfowl hunting about 6 months ago that I started using social media more to find other women who were into the same activities. Waterfowl hunting in general tends to be a very sort of niche group of individuals that it requires a very certain set of gear, understanding, tracking. It tends to be a very close knit. And as I got involved a little bit more in participating in some of these social media groups, I started to meet additional women who were into the exact same things and very like-minded. And they introduced me to a couple of different groups who are specifically women-oriented and do everything they can to get more ladies, make space for women in the outdoors. They support veterans. And they schedule various events and activities where women can get together and network, participate in hunts together, and really do everything they can to learn from each other. One of those groups that I was referring to is called Untamed, and that is a group of women supporting women. Like I mentioned, they also work with our veterans, and it's all about networking. It's all about going on trips and sharing those experiences together. There's also another group that I've started to participate with a little bit more, and it's called Women of the Wild. One of my friends, Felicia, owns and operates that. And this includes everything from fishing to hunting activities. She also works with veterans. And I have an upcoming fishing trip with her and a couple of other gals coming up in early May. And I'm really looking forward to spending the time on the boat.
And they can go on and post any of their pictures. They can promote their business and just put up brag pictures with their grandkids, you know, fishing with them. So I think a lot of us, you know, we kind of have maybe a little bit different perception of what it is to promote a business, but I think all of us have something to contribute.
Oh, and that's absolutely right. You know, having that like-minded outset and having, you know, a commonality, not just in the activity that we're doing, but in the way we see things. I think women, you know, in general tend to bring almost their own sort of essence to it, whether it's hunting or fishing or hiking or really anything in between. And what I'm seeing with these ladies groups, and there's another group that I was really fortunate to come across during one of my all ladies hunts. There's a gal named Erin Kreider, and she runs and operates Uncharted or Outdoors Women. And she has an all-female fishing guide service. They participate in shooting events, shooting 101 classes, fishing 101 classes, just anything that they can do to make space for women in the outdoors. And I'm finding that with these gals, there's such a high level of inclusion that I've never seen before in the outdoor industry in my prior experiences. I mean, they support each other. And these gals even go as far as sharing gear with each other, as well as connecting on a personal level to find out about that work-life balance, you know, hunting, various levels of experience, you know, and looking for, you know, forming those friendships to go forward with.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I know a lot of the women that I fish with and some of them that I fish with for the first time, we always learn, you know, new things from each other, you know. We always share the fishing gear, and they usually want to end up fishing with what I'm fishing with and vice versa. So I think it's a very diverse group, and I think a lot of the ladies coming on board now are really wanting to learn and find that little niche in the outdoor industry.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, social media has grown to be such a massive resource for that, and I understand that you are really involved in the social media side of things. And when I first got started, I mean, we're talking about the early 2000s when I first started fishing. Social media wasn't even really a thing. At that point in time, I think Facebook was barely getting off the ground, you know, and not everybody even had access to the internet or computers at that point. But as the years have passed, I found that social media has become not only a great resource, but a great networking opportunity where other gals can find each other. I can't tell you how many times I'd be perusing a group on Facebook and, you know, I'd see a post by a gal that says, hey, I'm brand new to insert, you know, hunting or fishing activity. I'm looking for other people in my area who might be interested in, you know, going out sometime and doing some sort of activity. And, you know, from that, I mean, you have all kinds of levels of, you know, abilities, you know, among these women. Some people are just starting out. Some people are all the way to the full professional level. And what I find with the ladies is that there's not any sort of clickiness to it. There's no exclusionary stuff happening. They're very inclusive. They support each other. And if you have a very low skill level because you're newer to the activity, there are so many gals that want to help because they started out in those same spots. I mean, these professional ladies who go out and do just these amazing things, they had to get a start somewhere just like the rest of us. Some people take it a little bit slower. Some people, you know, take it to some extremes, as I noticed that you do. I mean, you seem to have a very full schedule with the stuff that you participate with.
Yes, I do, Katie. As a matter of fact, had 3 phone calls this morning, building websites, trying to help these ladies promote their business, and basically showing them how to navigate through social media. And one of the things I probably preach the most is sharing content. You know, if you come across a post that you enjoy that another lady angler put up, share it. Share it to your page. Share it to a group. That'll help them. That'll help them build up their audience. That'll help them build up their confidence. You know, and social media is very important in what we do today.
You know, you talk about that confidence, and that's a big intimidation that I'm finding a lot of females have. And I know I started out in the same spot. I didn't know anything about fishing. I didn't know anything about the outdoors. I remember, you know, one time early in college, and this is before I ever hunted, I ever had a fishing pole in my hand. I went up hiking in one of my local, you know, outdoor parks, and I saw my first deer with antlers in the wild. And I was quite afraid of this animal because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know, was it going to attack me? You know, should I run? Should I stay still? You know, it was a very interesting experience that started to make me ask myself a lot of questions. And as certain opportunities started to come up in those early days and kind of my genesis into the outdoors, that, you know, it started to give me a better feel. And as I gained that knowledge and experience, some of that intimidation factor slowly went away. And as I would work on a skill, as I would, you know, develop myself in a certain area of understanding, whether it was technique or you know, building muscle groups to perform certain activities or training for some of the physical aspects of it, you know, I really found myself gaining confidence in certain areas. But those areas of confidence were limited to what I was gaining experience in. And so it was finding those opportunities, you know, for those additional activities that really helped me with my own personal growth within it.
Well, as I've told you before, I've only been fishing for about 7 years. And when I first started fishing, I didn't know anything about fishing. I didn't know the rules or regulations. But I was lucky enough to fish with some really great charter guides here in Louisiana, and they taught me a lot. And then I got started promoting them as well in their business. Then that's where I got into the social media aspect of it. And I realized just how much, you know, a lot of people really didn't know about navigating through, you know, uncharted waters, so to speak. And I just started promoting them, started building the websites. And as a matter of fact, I have a website strictly for our charter guides in Louisiana that's in progress right now. But I really enjoy what I do. I love promoting Louisiana. I love promoting the ladies out there in the outdoor industry. And me, when I'm out on the water, there's nothing like it. And I can't wait to get back out there. I could fish every day and, you know, never get tired of it. And every fish that I catch is always like the first one, always.
Oh, you got that right. You know, you mentioned your first fish and how it feels the same every single time. It reminds me of one of the very first times I was trout fishing. And, you know, as you and I had discussed before, trout fishing is one of my favorite styles of fishing, and particularly fly fishing now as my technique of choice. But I was in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and this is very early on. And I was working so hard to find fishable waters. I mean, there every single creek up there, every single river seemed to be dammed up with beaver dams, and you know, it was seemingly impossible. And in my frustrations that day, I stomped off into the swamp with boots that literally had no waterproof capabilities at all. And as I worked to stay on top of the humps of the fallen cattails of swamp grass, you know, my boots slowly were becoming soaked. My frustrations were growing, but I came across this small creek. And this thing couldn't have been more than 2 feet wide by a foot deep, but almost reminding me more of a ditch than anything. But I hadn't seen any beaver dams. And so out of pure faith, I just made a cast into this little piece of water. And sure enough, on the end of my fishing pole was this gorgeous, gorgeous brook trout. And this water of this creek was stained red from the iron mineralogy of the area. And as I pulled this fish from the water, I could see that its skin was also stained red from living in this water. But through that stained red, I could see the blue halos around the spots and those beautiful stripes on the fins on the belly of the trout. And it was so awe-inspiring for me to not only overcome my own frustrations and be one with Mother Nature. Trust me, I was already one with the swamp because my boots were full of water by then. But having that fish in my hand, being able to go out, nobody else around. I mean, there were probably more bears per square mile than there were humans. But being able to take that moment with me and carry that forward as purely a memory, that feeling of victory when I was facing so much frustration, I'll never forget it because it really made me bring that with me. And I almost think about that trout story every single time I go fishing. It's just something that I've carried with me over the years.
It's so funny though, we have such a diverse amount of species that we all fish for. I wanted to tell a little story about Laurie Heath that come to fish with me. She's from California, and she's used to catching 200-pound tuna. And she comes down to Louisiana, and she's fishing for redfish. And she caught a couple that were barely legal, but she got so excited and was laughing and jumping around, you would have thought she'd caught the biggest fish in the world. And she had so much fun, and it was just, you know, it was so dear to me to see her have that much fun when she's down here in Louisiana catching these little small fish. So we all have that little perception of, you know, the women that we're working with, just like with Laura, you know, I'm thinking she's going to come down to Louisiana and catch these small fish. And, you know, we're not going offshore catching no 200-pound tuna. And I was kind of, you know, leery about that, but she had such a good time, and I ended up staying a couple of days, and I just can't wait for her to come back. And that's just like that all over the world because the species are so different.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, going from residing in Michigan, you know, and seeing all freshwater species, whether it's the warm water freshwater, the colder water freshwater in the bigger lakes, in the Great Lakes region, all the way to, you know, offshore fishing in saltwater, it is completely different. And I enjoy catching little tiny trout just the same as I enjoy catching 30-pound bull reds in Louisiana. It's something about the experience and getting to just enjoy your surroundings and see how other people do things differently. You know, you talk about the different species, and along with it come a variety of different tactics, different tackle, different gear. And as I'm getting more involved with the ladies, I'm able to network with them a lot more about some of the things that work, some of the things that don't work, versus some of the stuff that, you know, I've learned from the guys over the years. You talk about your Louisiana fishing. I had the opportunity to follow one of my favorite fishing guides, Steve Martinez with STM Outfitters. I fish with him a number of times per year in Michigan for trout and salmon and steelhead. And after years of fishing with him and hearing his stories about guiding reds in Louisiana, I absolutely had to take the opportunity to go down. So this past January, I took the trip down with him, and I scheduled 4 days of fishing. And we schedule so much time so that we, you know, it's kind of assumed that at least a couple of those days won't be fishable weather because of either, you know, high winds or bad storms or bad wave conditions. But while I was down there, I couldn't have asked for a more perfect 4 straight days of fishing. We fished the flats. We fished swampy areas. We fished large lake areas, all on the fly. And it was literally four straight days of trophy bull reds and black drum. And at one point, I even caught my first sheep's head, which are some striped fish down there. And I was absolutely blown away by the fact that their teeth look very similar to human molars. And that is something that I never had seen before. I couldn't even hardly comprehend it, let alone be able to touch it with my finger and see this in person. But Steve put me on all the right fish. I mean, we had a variety of conditions while we were down there. Some of the windier days, we would kind of tuck in behind some islands and grid fish, grid pattern certain areas. You just couldn't see, through the water. It was so dirty. And then other days, the water was very calm. The wind was calm, and we could sight fish a number of them. I mean, I remember one day we were out in a lake area, and I mean, we probably only had a five mile per hour wind all day. And the sun was beating down, the water was clear, and you could see these enormous creatures just making their way through the water. And as I would cast my fly to them, you know, some of them would take it, some of them wouldn't. Sometimes my skill wasn't quite good enough, and I would miss a really good opportunity at a nice fish. But that particular day, I landed over a dozen red drum, black drum, and I easily missed another dozen opportunities. But it's those experiences, those different conditions, getting to see the difference in the flora and fauna from what I'm used to up here in the northern states versus what's down south on the coastal region was really mind-blowing. I would get to see, we would go out on the low tides, and, he would be pointing out the various, I don't know if it was clams or oyster bars on the sides of the water, that when we would come back in later in the day during high tide, those would all be flooded up. So we were dealing with brackish water, salt water, waters that I was completely unfamiliar with. And then you talk about the flora and fauna around you. I mean, the trees, the plants, the swamp grass, everything around you is different, let alone the fish in the water, the birds in the sky. And I know you and I briefly discussed waterfowl hunting, but, after doing so much waterfowl last fall, getting to go down to Louisiana fishing for redfish, we were covered in rafts of bluebill and loons and pintail and ringneck ducks. I mean, they were all doing their own fishing. It was just such a sight to see. You would see the shrimp boats out, you would see the crab boats, you would see all these different versions of water vessel that I had never seen before. And it was truly an experience that I'll never forget. It wasn't just catching the fish. It was learning all about the context of the fishing that I was doing. And this particular area, I believe, was about an hour or so south of New Orleans in the Houma area, just out of Dulac. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing any of that correctly, so feel free to correct me if I'm wrong there.
No, that's correct. Houma and Dulac. That's correct. Okay.
And, but it was amazing. Some of my other offshore experiences were with one of my good friends, Art DuPlessis, with Wild Bill Charters out of Key West. And it was with him that I was able to do some shark fishing, as well as some far offshore fishing for mahi, wahoo, things like that. And while we were shark fishing one day, I ended up coming into this 10-foot-long, 400-pound longfin mako shark. Wow. And this thing put up a battle of a lifetime. I never thought I would put my entire weight into catching working a fish the way I had that shark. I mean, there were a couple of moments that, between my buddy Art and his deckhand, I mean, they literally would have to hold on to my shoulders to keep me in the boat from being pulled in by this enormous fish. I think I worked that fish for at least 20, maybe 30 minutes before we got it up to the boat. And it was circling us, it was doing everything. And just, now to give you some context about that is the longfin mako that I was so fortunate to have on the end of my fishing pole was only the second longfin mako spotted off the coast of Key West in the last 30 years. it was an absolutely amazing experience. I couldn't have asked for a better trip. And it almost doesn't matter if it's a tiny fish, you know, versus an absolute monster. It's all the same. It's all different in the fact that it's all the same.
Well, that's definitely an amazing story. But one of the things I wanted to talk to you about also was you do kayak fishing as well, and you actually kayak fish by yourself most of the time, huh?
You know, I have. Just about a year ago, I ended up purchasing my first kayak. I'd never been kayaking before. I saw that, you know, up in the Michigan, the Great Lakes region, there is a huge following for, you know, professional kayak fishermen. You know, anglers. And I mean, these kayaks are fully decked out. They have little foot pedals where you can paddle yourself around. But you know, the kind of kayak I started out with here that I got last year is just a basic, you know, you paddle yourself around. It's got a little spot to put your fishing pole, almost like a little rod holder, a spot to put a beverage if that's your thing, a little place for your tackle box. But about 4 years ago, my favorite guide that I had mentioned before, Steve Martinez, he was the one that first put a fly rod in my hand. And that sparked an entire line of passion for me that between the fly fishing and fly tying that I still to this day cannot get enough of. And so yesterday, it was 34 degrees here in Michigan. Overcast, cloudy skies. It looked like it was about to rain the entire day. And I thought, you know what? Some of the best fishing days happen for rain. And I pulled out the kayak for the first time this year. I went out to one of my favorite trout fishing spots. I paddled to, you know, a couple different locations, and I absolutely slayed the trout. And it was so gratifying because the night before I had spent some time tying some leech flies. Now these particular leeches are almost a variation on the egg-sucking leech pattern. And so I take them and I add different colors, I use different feathers, I'll use a different type of you know, rabbit fur strip on them than some of the classic patterns. But to be able to take that fly that I tied that night before, load my kayak into my vehicle, drive to my favorite fishing spot, paddle up without even having a pole in the water at that time, not knowing what's going to happen that day, and then being able to slay the trout on a lure that you tied yourself was so incredibly gratifying. And I couldn't have asked for a better day fishing. You know, whether it's small fish, big fish, it almost doesn't matter. You know, you're getting out there, you're doing everything you can, and you're pursuing those passions. And to talk to some of these other gals, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, I've met some other gals on the river. Like last year, I had the same kayak and I would, you know, fish around with it. And I was able to meet a couple of gals, and they would tag along with their boyfriends to the river. And, you know, we would talk about fishing knots. We would talk about terminal tackle, what to use, tactics of certain rivers. And, you know, it really started a lot of my discussions with these gals about what they were into, what I was into, and then starting to come to, you know, like-mindedness together that I hadn't really experienced up until that point.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing, and I'm very impressed that you're so well-versed in the outdoor industry and what that you do. I mean, fly fishing is, well, it's not my thing. I'm not very good at it, but, you know, apparently it's one of your favorites.
You know, it is, and I came across some of my hunting activities. There was an all-gals hunt that I'd like to share a little bit more about, but on that particular hunt, I met Erin. And she's the owner of the Uncharted Outdoors Women that I was telling you about. And this group of all female anglers, I mean, you should see some of the activities they do. I mean, they fly fish in some of the most gorgeous regions of Colorado and Montana that I could ever imagine. They even just recently brought in their first indigenous female fly fisher, fly guide, to the, I think it, she mentioned it was Egypt Lake. Or Egypt, you know, the Egypt area up there. And, you know, she couldn't have been happier to have that kind of home-based knowledge as part of her team. And so to see these gals, I mean, by the dozens, just out on these rivers casting fly rods, pulling in absolute monsters, laughing, joking, netting each other's fish. I mean, it's absolutely unreal to watch these gals in action and the joy that it brings to their hearts. Because I know I personally, and I'm sure you can speak to the same thing, have this joy inside of myself every time I'm out on the water, every time I'm out in the woods. And I'm sure you get plenty of that too.
Oh, I love it. I mean, every fishing trip, every cast, and you know, it's amazing. I just can't get enough of it. And some of the other things I wanted to mention to you as well, you know, maybe sometimes you could share some links to my page or to my website for some of the other ladies that you fish with. And if you've got some fly fishing guides, that would be awesome. As a matter of fact, fly fishing is a bucket list, you know, for catching bull reds for a lot of people. I've had people come from as far as Australia to fish with me with a fly rod to catch a bull red. And that's a bucket list for some people with the fly rod.
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. You know, after gaining some experience with Steve Martinez on the fly up here in Michigan, now Steve, I mean, his experience background is absolutely insane in the fishing industry. He would guide in Alaska. He's guided in Michigan. I mean, all over the country, right? For various, you know, fly fishing, regular fishing tactics. But, you know, it was the knowledge I gained from him, working on technique, working on skill, you know, over our various trips, different methods of fishing, that it started to give me enough confidence. I mean, I would, you know, attend some courses and seminars on fly fishing. Fly Tying 101 was, you know, one of my favorites because, you know, you got to see the artistic side behind, you know, the fly tying itself. You know, you could go up to the local store and you could buy a nice streamer fly for $7, you know, or you could spend $7 and get some fly tying materials and make your own version, get creative with it. Some flies don't fish very well, but some flies that, you know, they fish fantastically. Depends on the day, obviously, what the conditions are. But being able to take the fly fishing experiences that I've garnered over the last 4 years and be able to finally get to go down and apply them in Louisiana was absolutely unreal. Up here in Michigan, I mean, we would target anything from trout. We have king salmon runs that run into the rivers from the Great Lakes. And we also have steelhead, which our steelhead in the Great Lakes are quite a bit different from the steelhead that they have on the coastal regions. Our steelhead are lake run rainbow trout, and these things, these fish, I mean, you talk about strength of fish, and these things come in from the Great Lakes, ready to spawn, ready to do their thing, and they are angry, they're hot, they're a heck of a fight. I mean, it's unreal, you know. So to be able to take that experience on the skinny water, and then to get to go down and do fly fishing on the bigger water down there with Steve. I can't even put a comparison on it. And you do talk about bucket list. It absolutely filled a bucket list item for me. And I can't wait for the next one.
Well, like I said, a lot of women, they get in touch with me. Some of them are newbies. They want to learn how to fish. They want to get involved with a fishing group. And we usually have some contacts. I work with some organizations where they can actually go attend some seminars here in Louisiana and help them out in that manner. And then, of course, if they're interested in fishing any of the events that I host, they'll come along and teach them a little bit while we're doing the event. But it's always someone out there that's, you know, willing to help out. And if any of these ladies really want to learn and want to get on board, we can find someone to put them in contact with and help them out.
Oh, it's really incredible what you guys do. You know, some of the experiences that I've had, you know, and we've talked a lot about fishing today, are really so far, you know, in the hunting industry, you know, these groups of gals. I had mentioned Untamed Outdoors. I was fortunate this last February to participate in an all-ladies snow goose hunt in Missouri. And, you know, this consisted of, you know, hunting in A-frame blinds as well as hunting underneath snow goose decoys. And to share the blind and share a lodge with 10 women was such a unique and valuable experience to me that I hadn't experienced at any other time in any of my other hunting opportunities. I mean, and I had shared blinds with, you know, a number of different guys. Sometimes it'd be a co-ed situation. But getting to network with these gals and seeing the various levels of abilities and skill that they had. I mean, there was a pair of ladies there that they were so good behind a shotgun that, I mean, they would knock anything down in front of them. There were also some ladies, there was one gal who it was her very first hunting trip. Her very first hunt was on that trip. And she had expressed quite a bit of, you know, a high level of nervousness. And so we would just chat with her about what to expect. And hey, if you have fun and you're pointing that shotgun at a bird and you let that trigger rip and something dumps out of the sky, you're going to have a blast. And even if it doesn't dump out of the sky, you're still going to have a blast. There was another gal there who had a young son. And, you know, she was a single mom. And part of her balance was forcing herself to get involved in those kinds of hunting and fishing opportunities so that she had something to teach her son. You know, so she had doors that she would be able to open up for her own child. And so, you know, all of these ladies came from different backgrounds, different experience levels. They all had a different purpose and a different drive. And, you know, having my own purpose, you know, this being just a life passion for me, I absolutely loved learning from these girls. And being in a different state, learning from them, I mean, women bring this special essence. And it's my experience so far that there is such this high level of inclusion. They support each other, they share gear, and they connect on personal levels. I know you and I had discussed previously a little bit about, you know, how some of these all-ladies hunts tend to be very team-oriented. It might not necessarily be about, you know, the largest number of fish or the biggest fish, as it is sharing those experiences with other like-minded individuals. And I see so much of that in what you're doing, especially down south. And I understand that you have a huge presence in Florida with some of the fishing stuff down there.
Yes, I like to do ICAST every year, and last year was pretty special. I brought a large group of ladies down to ICAST last year, and they were able to make some contacts and get some sponsors. As a matter of fact, two of the ladies I brought in had won the ICAST bass tournament, and that was pretty good because it had never been done, won by women before. And of course, they also had the largest bag limit. The weight was over 25 pounds for the fish, and that was, it was pretty awesome to see that happen. And then, of course, they're going to play it forward this year. The ladies that I brought in last year will be bringing more ladies in this year to accompany them to ICAST and get to see what it's all about. And of course, I invited you, if you want to come down and see what it's all about, you're more than welcome to join us.
You know, I fishing, that sounds right up my alley. I'm definitely going to look into that, and I'm going to market it. And you said that's in July, right?
That's in July, and it's in Orlando, Florida.
Okay, I'm going to look into that and see if I can squeeze that into the work-life balance schedule here, because that sounds like something I would really enjoy doing.
And I think we might be doing a little fishing trip with some of the ladies by getting in early and maybe even doing a little fishing show as well.
Oh, that sounds excellent. That sounds like a great way to meet, you know, other people with some really interesting stories.
It's a great way to add contacts to your list of outdoor ladies.
Absolutely. You know, and as I'm getting involved with these ladies groups, I'm finding that it's almost a snowballing effect. You know, you meet a couple of gals and then you hear about some events, and next thing you know, I mean, for example, this year upcoming, I've already done the snow goose hunt in Missouri, and that was an incredible opportunity. I had mentioned Women of the Wild, that's run by my friend, the Felicia, and she's setting up an all-ladies walleye fishing trip here in the Great Lakes for May. And I couldn't be more excited for that because this is traditionally something that I have done with, you know, a group of guys in the past. And it's very, you know, male dominated in that way. And, you know, Felicia, she, you know, owns her own boat, and she, you know, she vessel, you know, charters her own boat. And I mean, it's absolutely amazing the stuff that she does to support the other women and really bring them together. She's putting out those opportunities that people like me are really looking for. You know, I'm not looking to come in and sell something to her or sell something to other people, as I am to just find these, you know, form these friendships, find these groups of ladies. That's what I have going in May. You talked about the iFish down in Orlando this summer, and that's definitely something that I would like to get involved in. Later on in the fall, I've signed up a couple of my friends, lady friends, put together an all-girls whitetail bow hunt in October. It's not something that I've done in another state. I have hunted whitetail for probably the last 8 to 10 years here in Michigan. So to be able to go have that sort of opportunity in a different state is something that I'm really looking forward to doing, particularly with the other gals. I am also scheduled to do a speck hunt, which is a waterfowl hunt. Speck is the greater white-fronted goose. And I'm doing an all-ladies hunt in Arkansas towards the end of the year. So already, you know, in April here, I've got a number of activities already planned out with some of these gal groups. And I just can't wait to see where these friendships, where these connections end up taking me. I first started, you know, with waterfowl this last fall, and I was really fortunate to get to do some work on a duck boat for a charter guide. And I remember there was this one gal that we had on the boat, and this is layout hunting. So we put these boats in the water in the Great Lakes, and it, you know, set these decoys all over the place, and you know, you lay down in these boats and you're just being rocked by these waves. And I remember this one gal, Ella Martin, she came on the boat and we put her in that layout boat. And she proceeded to absolutely destroy the ducks that day. It was incredible to watch her. Now, this gal, it was her first year hunting. She had started hunting with her boyfriend. And that story of getting started, you know, tagging along with a boyfriend or, you know, a guy they knew or some guy friends is such a genesis story that I hear from so many women. And my experience is not all that different. But to be able to have someone like her on the boat and be able to connect with her in that way, watch her shoot these ducks in this way, you know, in a layout hunt scenario, and then get to talk to her over the radios about it, it was absolutely incredible. And she and I have been trying to hook up and get together for another hunt, and we just haven't been able to. She lives down south, and I live up north here. But, you know, the ladies' experiences are incredible, because I think that there's a certain connection that we have with each other that, you just don't find anywhere else.
It's pretty amazing. But before we go, I want to throw a few names out there for you. We spoke about Angie Scott, the woman angler and adventurer. That's one of the podcasts some of the ladies could listen into. They'd get a lot of information from that. And then we have takemefishing.org. And that is a plethora of information on anything to do with fishing in any of the states. And they're well-versed in tackle, how to register your boat, anything to do with the water, that you can find it on takemefishing.org.
Well, that's incredible. And so let me ask you about the takemefishing.org. Is there a networking feature to that where other girls can find each other in certain states?
Well, they have a lot of YouTube videos, and they can point you in a direction to, you know, in your state. They have a lot of states listed, and they have a lot of YouTube videos that basically are listed under helpful tips.
Oh, that's incredible. You know, that's you mentioned YouTube is such a grand, grand platform to have too, because, and even in the early days, you know, you look up YouTube videos, you know, on certain rivers, on certain lakes, on certain, you know, how do I, you know, tie a certain fishing knot? How do I, you know, tie a fly? How do I, you know, you start any sort of thing with how do I, and you'd be it's unreal what follows after that.
Well, I can tell you another place you can find these helpful tips is on my website, sisterhoodfishing.com, and I also started a page for women's fishing groups. So anybody that wants to add their fishing group, they can add it to my page. It'll be on the website. And they're different states, so no matter what state you're in, if you want to add your fishing group, you can add it to that page.
Oh, that sounds like a great resource, something that I would definitely be using as I continue to grow my hunting and fishing in these various different states.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, Katie. And hope to see you soon, or hope to see you at ICAST. And don't forget to share your fishing adventures or hunting adventures on our page as well on sisterhoodfishing.com.
Thanks so much for having me, Wanda. And if you ever make it up to Michigan, please give me a call. I would love to take you out on some of our rivers.
Thank you. And you have an open invite here.
Thank you, Wanda.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.